Honestly, I don't know who I'd be without Vasilisa and Baba Yaga. This old Russian tale, in some ways, has framed my psyche to understand the cyclical nature of life and to really understand it's not only life and death, it's life, death, and rebirth over and over again. Having grown up on a small farm in Northern California, at a very early age, I watched animals die, and it was so disturbing. Not just to see them pass away, but to see them suffer, not feel like they were coming back, and not really understanding that life was always trying to push its way back into existence. What I didn't know as a child, could not have known as a child, being an innocent child, was very similar to Vasilisa. When this story begins, Vasilisa has an innocent heart. She knows her mother is sick, but assumes she'll get up again. So when her mother calls her into the bedroom and gives her this doll and whispers to her, "If you ever should lose your way or be in need of help, just ask this doll what to do. Keep her with you always, but do not tell anyone about her, and feed her when she is hungry." Vasilisa is initiated into her own intuition, while her mother, through her life, has developed her own intuition. On her deathbed, she is endeavoring to transfer this to Vasilisa so Vasilisa can more than survive, but thrive through her own life, death, and rebirth cycles. Now, at first, Vasilisa doesn't know all that the doll will show her, but she does what her mother says out of love and loyalty and begins to tread on her own path. Now, Vasilisa greets her new situation with her stepmother and her stepsisters with kindness and an otherworldliness, because that's also what her mother taught her, to be nice, to be kind. But in face of the negativity that she is living within, being nice and pleasing isn't going to be enough for her to thrive. And this is where the stepmother gives her a blessing, and in this case, a blessing in disguise. She sends her from this home that has no heat for her, no love, no attention on what matters to her, out into the dark forest. Now, although the stepmother is hoping she gets eaten or killed, in the overall adventure and initiation of Vasilisa into her own knowingness, she must go out into the wild, into the dark, and find out what she knows and what she doesn't know for herself. So this strange blessing from the stepmother, this strange blessing from the stepmother comes to us in all forms in our lives, where something seemingly goes wrong or goes out or fails, and it sends us off into an adventure of our own that we can't quite see. And it's in this darkness that Vasilisa begins to lean into unseen forces. And when she comes to these crossroads where she doesn't know which way to go, she begins to practice asking the doll left or right as it bounces in devotion inside of her pocket. This is the beginning of her tuning in to what she needs to know to find fire. While in the forest, she also meets with mystery, the great mystery that illuminates this world, with the white horse and the rider representing daylight, the red horse and the red rider symbolizing the sun rising, and the black man and the black horse representing night. These elemental forces leading Vasilisa to the one who creates all. Just imagine her coming through the forest and seeing this house on chicken legs, walking around in an ecstatic nature, twisting and turning, suggesting that Vasilisa's life is about to be turned upside down for the better. In the before times, bones were magic. In Baba Yaga's house, her doors and shutters are closed and fastened with bones, signaling a deeper magic, medicine, and wisdom within. And of course, Vasilisa needs to check in. This is part of learning to discern between what is good for her and what isn't good for her. When she asks the doll, "Is this the house of fire we seek?" And the doll moves towards yes. Baba Yaga, this primordial, timeless, archetypal creature, is in many, many traditions, called by many names. But in this Russian tale, her name is Baba Yaga. And she rides in a cauldron shaped like a mortar, rowing with a pestle, chin curved up, nose curved down, hissing, "What do you want?" As Vasilisa meets face to face with this powerful, powerful woman, she must be honest. And the story is telling us that in the face of power, it's wise to be honest, to stand your ground. "I have come for fire," she says. "Honestly, my house is cold and my people will die. I need fire." Of course, Baba Yaga knows all. She knows her people. She knows them well. Says it was ill-advised to let your fire go out. "Why should I reignite your flame?" she asks. And again, Vasilisa consults her doll, her inner knowing, her honest voice, "Because I'm asking." Vasilisa here displays her innocent truth. "I am asking for fire for my family. I am asking for myself." And Baba Yaga answers, "You are very lucky, for somehow you have managed. You have managed to be honest in the face of fear and power. Every good mother wants to pass on good judgment to her daughter. For if a mother must leave her child or send her out into the world, she wants to know that she did her best to care for her. But each mother can only take her child so far before the child goes out into the wild world and meets what is dangerous, thought-provoking. Therefore, intuition comes into a young woman's life where she's reaching and risking for life, not cloistered in a place where all decisions are made for her. There's a purpose to this process, a purpose to every young woman sharpening her intuitive powers. Because when the fire goes out at home, it literally snaps Vasilisa out of her submission into a new way of being, even if it scares her, even if she doesn't know she has the courage yet to face what's in the darkness of her own psyche. And in this story, there is a doll. Like in many stories, there are small homunculi, leprechauns, elves, fairies, pixies, dwarves, these numinous creatures that have a little bit of a dangerous feeling wrapped up in them, a symbol of one's own intuitive power. In many cultures, a doll is a symbol of what lies buried within. That is both mysterious and numinous, like a little piece of our soul, an inner voice, an inner spirit. And if we don't feed that inner knowing, if we don't listen to what is felt but cannot be seen, our intuition doesn't fully root in us. And listening alone isn't enough. Vasilisa has to meet and face this wild hag, this Baba Yaga, this instinctual world, this wild dancing, this woman who is keeper of sky and earth, who summons beings that rise and lift the sun and make night come. And respect in the face of great power is a crucial lesson for Vasilisa. Baba Yaga is the one who dares to create and destroy. In many cultures, women like this are given the label witch, which comes from the word wit, meaning wise. In Baba Yaga, her house is really a house of soul. And when Vasilisa comes to stay with Baba Yaga, Baba Yaga creates these tasks to teach Vasilisa how to order her house of soul so that she can become a woman of her own house, her own temple, her own body. And these tasks that she gets of washing and cleaning and cooking and ordering our initiatory process from the wild one to this young innocent in the ways of purification of her body, mind, and soul, and of discernment of what is rotten and what is good. And here Vasilisa really learns about this cycle of life, death, and rebirth. For while she had to face the death of her mother, she's now facing the birth of life in a more rich and robust way. Vasilisa comes face to face with magic hands, with an intuition that works while she's sleeping, giving her solutions that she couldn't figure out in her waking life. And once she passes these initiatory tasks, Baba Yaga sends her home with a flaming skull. It's not that Baba Yaga sends her away because she's blessed. Baba Yaga is a blessing unto herself, giving the girl fire. It's that some blessings can also be curses. You're so nice. You're so pretty. You're so quiet. And Baba Yaga is anything but nice and quiet. She is a wild, creative force of energy that lives by her own rules and a deep understanding that some things must die and some things will be born in their place. So when she sends Vasilisa back with this flaming skull, it's a symbol of this initiation and seeing that comes from a different place in our body, up in the head, a burning way of seeing what is for us and what is not for us. The second death in this story comes when Vasilisa returns home and the flaming eyes of the skull see that her sisters and stepmother have nothing but evil thoughts for her, and that Vasilisa must now clear her home of that which isn't for her new creative, soulful life. And of course, on the way home, Vasilisa gets confused and scared. She wants to toss away this flaming skull. It seems dangerous. It will take time for every girl, like it took me, to be able to hold this inner sight, to be able to make peace with what I see. After many, many years of reading and rereading and telling this particular story, I have come to understand I am all the women in this story. In me, I have a huge, compassionate heart that wants no girl to suffer. I want to give her dolls and spirits and advice and medicine so she'll never have to suffer. And within me is also a little girl who had to leave home and find her own way. And as I age, I discover the Baba Yaga in me, who is fierce and wild and finding a way to unabashedly live life on my own terms, knowing I am part of a life and death and rebirthing cycle that will go on long after I've turned into ash. I recommend that everyone listen to the story again and again and imagine which part of the story you are living right now. And how are you learning to discern what gets to live or die in your life?